Champs is presented by Lawrence Technological University. Possible is everything. Sarah Chevrolet, the low payment people. Hungry Howie's Dough Raiser, your next fundraiser comes with flavored crust. Meijer, your destination for sporting goods and equipment. ClearVision.pro, the supplement athletes trust to maximize visual performance. Better vision, better results. And SnapCamp, Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Come visit Telegraph Road's newest Dodge and Ram truck dealer, serving Detroit.
State champs, what's happening, everybody? Thursday afternoon on the dot, 5 o'clock. Welcome to the State Champs High School podcast. We do own the weekend, and it begins now. What's happening, everybody? Today's podcast presented by Lawrence Technological University. Possible is everything. We do have a great show lined up for you today. District finals happening in football. Boys soccer finals are all set in the MHSAA. We've got an interesting story coming from the boys soccer regional. That Dakota Athens game, we'll talk about that a little bit later. Girls volleyball district action taking place this week, and we are just a week away from winter sports officially starting with girls basketball on Monday. That's pretty outrageous, man. Can you believe that? We're just a week away from...
It's getting wild. You know, this time of year always sneaks up on us. We're all in full fall mode, and then the next thing you know, winter sports are upon us.
That's right. Winter sports are just upon us, but let's not rush things. We've got a lot of high school playoffs to get to, especially football. That seems to be the main buzz, so we've got a heavy dose of that lined up for you today. We will also announce this week's Meijer main event, an extra point lineup, so you know where we're going to be at this weekend naturally, as we always do. We're also going to go in-depth on the MHSAA Division I brackets, the latest rankings on on statechampsnetwork.com. Plus, Deuce is going to talk upset alerts in the district final well. So, once again, everything is all presented by Lawrence Technological University. Possible is everything.
We want you. We are LTU, Lawrence Technological University. And as one of the nation's best schools for engineering, architecture, and technology, we don't want just anybody. We want students who are curious and driven. Students who want to change the world through technology, science, and design. So if you believe that possible is everything, we want you at LTU.
All right, let's get this show going. It's the State Champs High School Podcast. I'm Jerry Mack. In studio with Jeff Dulac, as always, bringing you the action for the next, 27 minutes at this point. Deuce, I want to get going with this week. We'll start with the Power 5.
Let's do it.
No changes in the Week 11 update from your Power 5 Mr. Football rankings, Give us an update on how each of those kids did in their first week of pre-district football.
Well, we'll work from the bottom up. We'll start with Ambry Thomas, number 5. You know, you have somebody like him who's a dynamic threat. Didn't have a very big playoff opening week. However, it's probably one of the easier games that King will have going forward. You know, they've got a tough game this week against Oak Park. They played Ferndale last week. He only had one catch for 6 yards, but I expect him to have some bigger and better numbers as the postseason goes on. Somebody like Tariq Reed, he went over the 2,000-yard mark. He had 4 or 5 touchdowns in the playoff opener.
Grand Blanc.
He's coming closer and closer to breaking that top three. Just for me, it's becoming tougher and tougher to see, you know, who do you knock out of that top three. Because at number 3, you have Donovan Peoples-Jones. He had a touchdown catch on a screen pass in their playoff opening win over Fordson. Knocked out another Mr. Football candidate, Hamzi Elziat.
Another impressive win there, too.
Absolutely. You know, people overlook that game just because of how good Cass Tech is. But don't sleep on Fordson. They had some really good playmakers, and they made it look relatively easy. Peoples-Jones also really starting to come into his own on the defensive side of the ball. Had an interception there. Khalil Pimpleton, I have at number 2. Again, I say this every week in the blog, and I'll say it every week on here. He is the most versatile player that this state has to offer. He does it on offense and special teams. And on offense, you don't know if he's going to make his impact at quarterback, if he's going to make his impact as kind of that slot back, running the ball or throwing it or catching it out of the backfield or at wide receiver. He's just that good and on special teams. he had, I think, 125 yards, 10, 15 carries. You know, just knows how to make a difference in any way possible. And then staying at number one is Cody White. He and the Warriors almost had their season come to an end, which would have been a big blow to his Mr. Football candidacy. You look at a team like Western, they're primed to make a deep run in the playoffs. But with this Mr. Football award, a lot of it has to do with team success. And if you get knocked out early, that can have a big impact on your standing in the Mr. Football award contest.
You know, and that was going to be my question to you as we begin to wind down this Mr. Football contest. Obviously, the voting ends a week from yesterday, so you have until after Election Day to make your vote for Mr. Football candidacy on the statechampsnetwork.com website. Mm-hmm. And then, obviously, as the polls close, we do have the rest of the playoffs happening, and then the contest will come to a close. But, you know, for somebody like Cody White, whose team – you know, escaped a close game, like you had said. 31-30 was the final in that one. And then you had also mentioned Ambry Thomas as well.
Right.
King, you know, with a better win but a lower performance. How does that sort of stuff impact the Mr. Football candidacy moving forward?
You know, that's really, really tough. You know, Ambry Thomas, I hate to blame a kid for, you know, who they're lined up against. That's kind of how it plays out, and he's not needed as much in a game like that. And I fully anticipate, as long as King gets past Oak Park, which is a really tough game, that Thomas will put up some really big numbers as the playoffs go on. He's just that dynamic of a threat. And don't forget, he's very good on the defensive side of the ball too. Cody White, on the other hand, you know, if they were to have gotten knocked out, it's really tough for me to keep him in that number one spot. You know, as tough as that is, he had two touchdowns, you know, 80, 90 yards receiving in the playoff opening win over South Lyon. You know, right now he's my number one. I see him staying there. It's getting closer and closer just because of his impact early in the year. Without Cody White, would Western be in the playoffs? It's really tough to say at this point. But if they were to have been knocked out of the playoffs, that's a little bit of a blow because he's not able to continue accumulating those stats as the postseason goes on.
One more person I want to particularly touch on, and then we can move on, but that is Tariq Reed.
Yeah.
Someone who at the beginning of the year I wasn't all too familiar with, but as our shows have progressed and being able to work in this Mr. Football progress and see game footage from these guys, you know, Tariq Reed is somebody who has silently, you know, that was kind of his story at the beginning of the year about how he was kind of doing it silently, right?
Right.
And Davidson has been kind of doing it silently. Now, here they are coming into the MHSAA playoffs with 104 playoff points and then a huge win. I mean, you're talking a pre-district playoff win over Grand Blanc by a score of 48-12.
Right.
Which you get to this time of year, that's an impressive win. Mm-hmm. So what type of performance and team performance is it going to take from Davidson to get a kid like Tariq Reed up into your top spot?
You know, you look at where Davidson is right now. This week against Clarkston on Friday night is going to be a really big opportunity, not only for Davidson to prove that they're for real. I think a lot of people are still waiting to see, are they for real? You know, you look at some of their wins. They've blown a lot of teams out. Now they're playing one of the more playoff-tested teams that we've had over the last, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years in Clarkston. Can Davidson hang with Clarkston? And can Tariq Reed put up those gaudy numbers he's put up all season long? Going over 2,000 yards rushing for a season is incredibly impressive. But now the competition gets real, and now we can really see what this Davidson team is made of, including Tariq Reed.
You're absolutely right. Now the competition is getting real as we start to focus our attention on the matchups. We're about to announce our Meyer main event for this week's State Champ Show, and then obviously our extra point lineup for our regional football show that happens on WXYZ ABC 7 on Saturday. So as we turn our focus to those team games, you know, you had hit it right on the head. Just now the competition is getting real. You know, we had highlighted some key matchups last week on our show and some premier matchups. It looks like a full slate. I mean, if this was college football, you know, and these games were on my Friday, you know, TV guide on TV, I'd be recording most of these games or looking at them. And that's truth, man. I mean, there are a lot of good football games coming up this weekend.
Oh, they absolutely are. I mean, you look at top to bottom, you know, Tom Markowski wrote a column last week that there wasn't a whole lot of drama in that first round. I really anticipate a lot of drama, some upsets, some big-time shakeups in the playoffs to go down this weekend.
And, of course, you can check that article out by checking out the news and blog section and clicking on In Play with Tom Markowski on our website, statechampsnetwork.com. We are definitely the leader for high school sports coverage, whether it be our articles, our videos, our TV shows, our radio shows, our podcast. Now I could keep on going on and on about how we do it in the high school scene. Right now, it is time to announce our state champs Meyer main event. And it has been announced that it'll be Canton at Saline this week for a district final matchup. Of course, you can see the result of that game this Sunday at 9 o'clock on Fox Sports Detroit on our state champs TV show. But let's preview that game. It's a heavyweight matchup. Obviously, a lot of games to pick from, as not just football, you know, but volleyball's in district action. Mm-hmm. We've got state finals happening in soccer. Right. I mean, this is a cream of the crop game. Talk about it a little bit.
I mean, you look at this game. A couple of years ago, Saline got past Canton around this time in the playoffs. Last year, Canton got past Saline. And now this is kind of that rubber match of two teams that I think a lot of people expect to be to pose the real challenge to Cass Tech to get to Ford Field. Got a Canton team last week rushed for almost 600 yards in the season opening or in the playoff opening win. You got a team like Saline that hasn't lost yet. Has played strong all season long. You look at their quarterback, Zach Schwarzenberger. I think he's one of the most underrated quarterbacks in the state. This is going to be a game where I think you see a lot of points, and you also see a lot of lead changes. So I don't think we're going to know who's really going to win this game until the last 3-4 minutes of this game.
I'm going to put your back up against the wall here and tell you to call it. You got to take one right now. Who are you going to take, Canton or Saline?
I picked Saline to win the state title. I went off the board now. A whole lot of people are deviating from that Cass
Tech.
You
and I in our state champs pool, and I were the only ones to go outside of Cass Tech and Detroit Catholic Central.
Right. I'm going to stick with Saline.
Which both of our sleepers are still alive.
Absolutely. And you know, a team like Saline, they have that playoff pedigree. Not saying that Canton doesn't. Saline was at Ford Field a couple of years ago. Something just tells me that Saline's going to be able to pull it off, especially for how closely contested these last couple of playoff games between these two teams have been. I'm going to go with Saline here.
I'm definitely right with you. I feel like Saline's been a team that's kind of, for their success in the past couple of years, have kind of flown underneath the radar this year a little bit. A little bit like Davison as far as doing it quietly, quietly, but definitely doing it impressively as well. So
right,
I'm right there with you. I've got Saline in this one. Let's take a look at our extra point lineup. We've got a handful of games that we will be at. So obviously just putting them out there to encourage you to get out there and say hello to us, interact with our camera people, our reporters. Right. You know, let them know that Jerry Mack and Jeff Dulek sent them out and, I don't know, punch him on the shoulder or something like that and tell him it was from us. I don't know. No, don't really do that, but I don't know. Point us out, find us, check out these games. We begin with West Bloomfield at Southfield A&T.
You know, that's an interesting game. You got a team like Southfield A&T that's starting to get healthy. Quarterback Sam Johnson missed the last couple of weeks of the regular season. And then you have a team like West Bloomfield. You know, they're a very good team. They beat a strong Bloomfield Hills team in the opening round of the playoffs. You know, that's another game that could go either way.
Definitely. And two teams in that matchup that have their own stories. Obviously, West Bloomfield forfeiting a game earlier on in the season.
Right.
So, their record not necessarily showing how good of a team they really are.
Right.
Southfield A&T competed in the OAA Red Division this year, so they had a lot of competition. And including some tough OAA White crossover games as well.
Mm-hmm.
So their record not necessarily showing how good that team is. So really a great matchup between two teams that are going to play some good football that are going to be right there.
Right, and you look at a team like Southfield, they've kind of had an emergence of another quarterback with Sam Johnson being out at the regular season. Towards the end of the regular season, I should say. I believe his name's John Darby. He really stepped in and Southfield had some must-win games that he helped lead them to wins and got them into the playoffs, and I think they're hitting their stride right now.
Next game up, we have Romulus at Allen Park. We'll be checking that game out as well.
Right. You know, Tom Donosky has done a really good job with Allen Park since Tom Hoover stepped down. Allen Park, I think, is going to be the favorite team. I think Allen Park can get this done, but Romulus has been a great story. They've done a lot of good things this year that I think has gone overlooked. But it wouldn't surprise me to see Romulus give Allen Park a game and possibly pull off the upset.
All right, another game we're heading out to. A sleeper, one of the biggest matchups to me, in my opinion. We've got another segment coming up where we're going to talk about your teams that are on upset alert. Yeah. I read your article. I don't think this game made it, but we will be there. Cass Tech at Dearborn. This is a heavyweight fight.
It absolutely is. I look at it as both teams have really strong offensive and defensive lines. Dearborn, I think, lost the season opener to Northville, and they haven't lost since. They've played extremely well as of late. However, when you just look at the number of athletes and the number of playmakers on the side for Cass Tech, I think that's going to tip the scales into Cass Tech's favor. You look at a guy like Rodney Hall, who's been a solid quarterback all year. I think he kind of makes a difference for that team when everybody focuses in on players like Jalen Kelly Powell and Donovan Peoples-Jones. You tend to forget about Rodney Hall, and that's where he can really hurt you.
Another can't-miss game heading up to the Macomb Area Conference, a rematch of Week 2 powerhouses, right. Dakota at Eisenhower this time. These two teams met in Week 2 at Dakota. Little bit of a different story in this one, but definitely I don't think it's lost any interest.
Oh, absolutely not. This is one of the must-see games of this week, if you ask me. You got a team like Dakota, who it really seems like Dakota's found their stride as of late. I think you would agree with that. I know you're a big Mac area guy, but you also have a team like Dakota, which has shown zero weaknesses, in my opinion, all season long. I did hit on this a little bit in my upset alerts blog. I mean, you know the Mac as well as anybody, in my opinion. You know, where do you think this game gets tipped in the scales in one side or the other?
Definitely up front, and I think we'll agree on that.
Right.
Obviously, with Kaiser Carlton being back as well, and Dakota's ability to be able to run the ball, it's all going to come from how they're going to be able to control Eisenhower's defensive line, who has been somewhat dominant throughout the Macomb Area Conference Red Division schedule this year as well. They haven't given up very many points, and I know this is a different Dakota team. We're going to talk about that in a little bit, but to answer your question, this game's going to be won in the trenches.
Yeah, I agree completely, and with that being said, I think the quarterbacks could have a little bit of a say late in these games. You need a late score. I think both teams have a signal caller that can make that late play to make a difference.
Definitely. All right, moving on to Division II, a team that you talked about not too long ago, home of Cody White, Walled Lake Western. They will be hosting Pinckney.
Right, I think Western gets back on track. Pinckney's been a great story, but I think that round one game against South Lyon was a little bit of a wake-up call for the Warriors.
A battle of Birmingham here. Brother Rice heading over to Birmingham Groves for a right. District final matchup.
This is a game that could see one of these teams make it to the semifinal. These are two teams that I don't think going into the year we all really expected these teams to have a chance to make it to the semifinal. The winner of this game has a very good opportunity to do this. Look at Brother Rice, a guy like Mariano Valeni, now healthy, back at quarterback, making some plays for them, but going up against a really good Birmingham Groves defense. Groves really hasn't proven they can outscore teams this year, but they've shown that if they play strong enough defense, they can score enough to get the job done.
Another battle of the city happening in a district final matchup. This one will be at Grosse Pointe North at Grosse Pointe South. Now, this game is taking place at South, even though the Norsemen had the better record. Obviously, we had touched on that a little bit. There was some MHSAA violations home competition scheduling. Mm-hmm. So as a result, this game will be taking place at Grosse Pointe South. Who you got in this one?
It's tough. This, in my opinion, is a little bit of a toss-up. I'm going to go with Grosse Pointe North. I think they're going to be able to get the job done, but it could really go either way. Both teams have played really well all season long, and it's just going to be who makes enough of the right plays at the right times.
And these two teams have met once already in the regular season. Mm-hmm. Two teams that are also traditionally known for their baseball programs.
Right.
I make that comparison because when these two teams met in the regular season, Grosse Pointe North came out on top with this one with the baseball score of 8-4.
That's right.
So we'll see. Be interesting to see how this game plays out and what differences we see.
I think it's safe to say you'll see a couple more points scored in this one.
Wrap things up with our extra point lineup. Waterford Mott heading out to Romeo. Romeo obviously hosting a couple of district games with the 6-3 overall record. Waterford Mott has a story of their own, but last year's defending Division I MHSAA state champion, right. Still alive.
This is another one we'll get to a little bit later on. it's going to be a tricky game for both teams. You look at a team like Romeo, who kind of we talked about earlier, they've got that playoff pedigree now and they can get it done. But you look at a team like Waterford Mott, running back like Keith Fields, who's just been almost impossible to stop this year. He's going to make a difference in this game, and that's going to be kind of a focal point for both teams.
Okay, so we have announced our state champs main event and our extra point lineup. We are officially in our district finals matchup. We announced many games all over Southeast Michigan, really, so there's absolutely no excuse why you can't get out and go check out these games, support these kids, support the local high school teams, do whatever you got to do. If you are going to head out and you're going to do a little bit of afternoon tailgating before those Friday night games, Friday afternoon we'll be looking at mostly sunny skies and a high near 52. For the nighttime games around kickoff, it will drop into the low 40s. Clear skies, but it is going to be a little bit chilly, so make sure you dress accordingly with the temperature. But again,
who knows this time of year?
We're avoiding precipitation for the most part, again, on a game day.
Getting a little bit lucky this time of year.
For the Saturday afternoon games, you'll see mostly sunny skies in that one beautiful fall afternoon as temperatures approach a high near 60 for Saturday afternoon games as well. So there you have it. Remember, all of this is presented by Lawrence Technological University. Possible is everything.
We want you. We are LTU, Lawrence Technological University, and is one of the nation's best schools for engineering, architecture, and technology. We don't want just anybody. We want students who are curious and driven. Students who want to change the world through technology, science, and design. So if you believe that possible is everything, we want you at LTU.
All right, welcome back to the show. Jerry Mack right here, our state champs insider Jeff Dulac right there. We're bringing you some State Champs podcast high school sports action. We just wrapped up announcing the games and talking about the matchups. I kind of want to get into now, let's lead us into the top matchups of the ones that we just discussed and the ones that we might not have mentioned that we might not be there, but are a great game as well. So where are your top playoff matchups in the area this week?
You know, I look just based off of intrigue, in my opinion, is the Birmingham Brother Rice, Birmingham Groves game. That's a game where, you know, in years past, you know, just 3-4 years ago, it would have been a no-brainer that Brother Rice was going to win this. But Brendan Flaherty's done a great job with Groves. I think that defense is going to be ready to go. And you got a young Brother Rice team that's really starting to come into form so far this fall. I really like that game.
I like that game as well. A game that I am looking forward to. I know I am a big Macomb area conference guy, so people might expect me to be talking about this Dakota and Eisenhower game the most, but the game that intrigues me the most this week is actually that Dearborn and Detroit Castech game. I feel like both of these two teams have so much on the line this year. Castech obviously looking to avenge a loss. In last year's Division I state finals, they're looking to get it done this year.
They're on a mission.
Dearborn is having one of the better seasons in school history for them. You know, they've got a chance. This type of success and these type of teams don't come around often for Dearborn.
Right.
So they've got a lot lined up as far as they want to ride this thing till it ends as well. And I just think this is going to turn into a matchup that is going to come down to, I mean, the last possession of the game, realistically.
Yeah, and you look at Dearborn, that they have a quarterback that can make some plays. A guy like Mikey Phillips, he's experienced, he's been there, he's done that. He can make some plays and give Dearborn a shot. One other game I want to talk about real quick. We won't have this on our shows on either of our shows this weekend. Game like Detroit King and Oak Park kicking off around 3:00 on Saturday. You have a young Detroit King team looking to defend their crown, going up against an Oak Park team with a massive offensive line and some really good skill position players. I think that's a game to watch, and that the winner of that game very well could be at Ford Field.
And the second game that I would like to spotlight here is the Davidson and Clarkston game. Davidson, again, I've mentioned it, a team that's kind of been flying under the radar and doing it quietly, but doing it extremely impressively. They're going to be taking on Clarkston, who might not be the same Clarkston of old teams that we've seen, you know, win back-to-back state championships recently. But Clarkston, no matter what, is always a team that has been able to You know, they're no stranger to the regional final actions either. They've got a great coach over there in Kurt Richardson. He's always going to have their team prepared. Both teams, you know, have the ability to run the ball and are big and physical up front and play similar types of styles of football. That's another game that I'm looking forward to.
Both coaches in this game are great. If you want to see a great tactical with just master tacticians, this is a game to watch. Kurt Richardson's been there for a very long time and done it for a long time. Kyle Zimmerman's a name that not a whole lot of people know, but he's been a great coach. He did a great job with Pontiac Notre Dame prep a few years ago, and he's really gotten Davison on the right track now.
All right, so we had just mentioned four out of many, many, many district games that are happening. There's good ones all across the board. I mean, we could turn this into an hour segment just in itself.
Right.
You had come out with an article this week on statechampsnetwork.com. They can find that under Dulac's Docket.
That's right.
Right? But let's get to your upset picks or your upset alerts.
All right. This is something that's very interesting to me. Like I said earlier in the show, I feel like this is a time where we could see a lot of crazy things happen, a lot of upsets take place. I'll start in the lower divisions. You got a team like Pomona Westphalia. Division 7 played in the state final last year and fell to Ishpeming. They're on the road back. Star running back Jared Smith, a third straight year over 2,000 yards rushing. But they're going up against a Saugatuck team that gave them a battle last year. A star quarterback, Blake Dunn, a four-sport star. You know, that's Pomona Westphalia has to be careful. And kind of another upset pick and kind of dueling state championship predictions for you and I. You picked Portland to win it all. I picked West Catholic to win it all. West Catholic's on upset alert. I know Portland's 10-0 and they've got the better record, but West Catholic's won three straight Division V state championships. You know, it's that type of playoff pedigree, but Portland can't be looked past. They're going to give them a battle. Both teams beat a very good Lansing Catholic team this year. West Catholic just beat Lansing Catholic last week, but keep an eye on that game.
I know we'll definitely be keeping an eye on it. Oh, we've absolutely got pride at stake on that one with our picks, so absolutely. I know you and I will definitely be watching it.
That's for sure. And then I know I mentioned it earlier. We have a team like Saline. I've got them on upset alert, 10-0. Canton's just playing extremely well right now. I know I have Saline winning it all, but Canton started the year 0-2 and has now rattled off eight straight wins, and they have a dominant Tim Beckler type of team where they just – they run the ball better than anybody that I've really seen this year.
Almost. And experience proves valuable this time of year, no matter how you cut it.
Absolutely.
I mean, these two teams, it might not be your traditional power, you know, the caliber that their traditional powerhouse teams have been up to as far as being the best of the best. But when experience comes around playoff time, that makes up for being outmatched a little bit.
Right, and you look at a Canton rushing attack that's led by a guy like Marcus Sanders. He played a huge role in Canton's playoff run last year, almost led them past Cass Tech in the semifinals, and now he's kind of part of that three-headed monster. It's always a three-headed monster, it seems like, for Canton, but they've got a really good chance to pull off an upset. I've also got Romeo on upset alert. You know, defending Division I state champions, they're not, in my opinion, they're not the Romeo of last year. They're not that team where you watch them and they're dominant, but they're still very, very good, don't get me wrong. Waterford Mott's playing some inspired football right now. Their coach has been suspended for the postseason. But this is a team that really seems to be rallying together and playing really well. So it'll be interesting to see that game. I think Romeo pulls that one out. But with Keith Fields out of the backfield, over 2,000 yards of total offense, somebody to keep an eye on. My last one to list out here is Utica Eisenhower. I'm going to let you take it away with this one because you've been calling this one for the last couple of weeks.
Well, you know, I'm right there with you. I think Utica Eisenhower is on upset alert this week, and I think it's high alert. We've talked about it weeks over the last couple of weeks. We've talked about Dakota. You know, Eisenhower has been a team that we've talked about all year. You know, they finished third in Tom Markowski's final state rankings. Mm-hmm. You know, a place where Dakota started, you know, and then moved up to number two after their big week one win against Orchard Lake St. Mary's, right? So we're looking at a rematch of two teams that are this is realistically the matchup that most people were looking forward to week two, right? And I don't want to discredit that week two win that Eisenhower had over Dakota, but the fact of the matter is that Orchard Lake St. Mary's game beat Dakota up, And they weren't the same team, and they overcame a lot of adversity this year. Mm-hmm. Their backs were up against the wall. They were in jeopardy of not making the playoffs for the first time in a very long time.
Right.
They were in uncharted territory, right? Mm-hmm. And they responded. So they're very battle-tested right now. You had mentioned that Utica Eisenhower, it's been a while since they realistically have been tested in this season.
Right?
And
that's big in my opinion.
I just think it's one of those games where, you know, on paper, when you look at these two, these are the two teams that we had on paper going into week two.
Right.
And we're finally getting that matchup.
Absolutely.
And in that game, when they were, you know, preseason looking at it, I had Dakota winning that game early. You know, things had changed. That's high school sports. I'm not discrediting anything Eisenhower did. I just think Dakota comes out on top in this one.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I'm leaning towards Dakota for the reasons you just mentioned. It's not to take anything away from Eisenhower. It's just that Dakota's gotten healthy at the right time. They're hitting their stride. And like what you had just mentioned, Eisenhower hasn't played the toughest of competition since kind of late September, if you look really closely at that schedule.
Yeah, and again, not to take anything away from them. They had a great top 25 win against Plymouth to open up the season.
Absolutely.
And kind of put the rest of the state on notice that Eisenhower is going to compete this year, you know, and then they beat Dakota pretty handily, right?
Right.
So,
absolutely.
And not saying they can't win this game, but I just think that Eisenhower is on the biggest upset alert this week.
Yeah, I'm with you. I put them right at the top of that list.
One other team I would like to add to your list, if you don't mind me doing that.
Let's do it.
I would like to put Detroit Cass Tech on alert this week.
Oh, wow.
You know, and yes, I know.
Bold.
Yes, it is bold, and maybe we can add it to your bold predictions article as well. You know, it's no stranger that Detroit Cass Tech is one of the heavy favorites in Division One, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what's the definition of an upset? A favorite being taken down,
absolutely.
Right? And with is how heavily favored Cass Tech is to make that finals. You know, I think the pressure's on them in this one, and you know they're very familiar with the Dearborn District, right? They've had some great matchups with Fordson in the past in the playoffs that were very close games as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I know that the Dearborn schools can play with Cass Tech. That's been proven in the past, you know, and Dearborn is just, again, they are a sneaky team. They've got a big left tackle that's committed to Michigan State, you know. Those type of things can make a difference as far as being able to physically play with Cass Tech's size on their defensive line and get to them.
Absolutely.
You know, a Fordson-Cass Tech matchup is no stranger to a 32-31 or 31-30 final. I think this game is going to be very similar to past games like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think Dearborn has a great shot to come out on top in this one.
Yeah, you know, you laid out some really good points. You know, Mustafa Khalifa and that big offensive line have done a really good job all season long keeping quarterback Mikey Phillips upright and allowing him to make the big plays. It's fair to put Cass Tech an upset alert just because Cass Tech has really dominated their entire schedule from start to finish. If you really look at it,
yes,
that's a good way of looking at it. In my opinion, I still think Cass Tech's gonna get the job done by a couple of scores.
Okay. Okay, so we see the outcome of the game a little bit different,
yep.
But I think we both can agree that the pressure is on Cass Tech.
There's some definite danger.
And going back to what we were just talking about with Eisenhower as well, you look at a team being battle-tested. Going back to what we also said at the beginning of the show as well, you know, Cass Tech is going to see some cream-of-the-crop competition,
right?
You know, starting this week. I mean, this is going to be the best of the best.
And
so.
They're
going to
get everybody's best shot, too. You know,
absolutely.
Even though Cass Tech's not the defending Division I state champion.
Everybody knows the road goes through Cass Tech to the championship.
And it's been that way almost every year for both Cass Tech and Catholic Central.
Definitely. All right. I want to wrap up the show with a little bit of a hot topic and just get your thoughts on something real quick.
All right.
We're going to focus over to the regional finals boys soccer matchup between the Dakota Cougars and the Athens Redhawks.
Mm-hmm.
An interesting storyline out of that one. Now, that game had gone to overtime, gone to penalty kicks. Athens came out on top in the penalty kicks due to a ruling, a misruling on the field that was eventually overturned by the MHSAA.
Mm-hmm.
These two teams had to come back. There was no warm-ups. There were no games at 4 o'clock. They put the ball back on the dot, and they continued their penalty kick session.
Right.
But basically what had happened was, you know, it had been ruled that the Dakota Cougars had kicked out of order in the penalty kicks.
Right.
It had been later determined that there is no such rule in tournament play for the MHSAA.
Mm-hmm.
So what did they decide to do? They decided to
re-kick the shootout.
Re-kick the shootout, absolutely. So, you know, I just wanted to get your thoughts on that. And realistically, does it set any sort of precedence moving forward in the MHSAA as far as, you know, overturning things or hearing people's complaints? I mean, we're talking about an amateur sport that we have, you know, essentially volunteer referees and umpires that take time out of their days to do these things.
Right.
You know, they're going to get some calls wrong. You know, so where do we draw the line sort of thing? Do you agree with what the MHSAA did? Do you think this is going to be something new moving forward?
I agree with what the MHSAA did, but I don't see this. I see this being kind of a single instance where this happens. I don't see the MHSAA suddenly starting to kind of open the door on reviews like this, just because you're talking about hundreds and hundreds of schools who are going to, you know,
right,
request.
I mean, the conversations
reviews
that were going on social media, obviously, you know, many fans and schools were coming out of the woodworks and bringing up the rough calls that they faced.
Right.
So it's like, that's what, you know, it's almost a box of worms that the MHSAA potentially opened up. But I am there with you. I think the MHSAA did the right thing. Now, pregame, we are talking about the reasons that kind of made that, and you brought up a great point of the timing of the error.
Right. I think because that shootout had the direct impact on the outcome of that game is why they did that. If it had been a penalty kick, you know, in the first half of a playoff game, I don't think there's anything that the MHSAA can really do to go back and replay that game.
Knowing that there was,
you're not going to replay, you know,
regulation
30,
period
minutes.
Time that happened after said call was made.
Right. It's tough to really be able to impact the game that way, because then you're kind of discrediting the other 40 minutes that happened in soccer. A lot of what happens in soccer is human error, human element, what players do and officials see and don't see. There's a lot of action in soccer games that, you know, not every official can see. However, a shootout like that, officials, you know, you have multiple officials with their eye on every single moment of a shootout. You know, there's a lot to be taken into account for in that, and that's why I think they were able to redo that. And I'll be honest with this, saying it, Athens won it the first time around. They won it the second time around. I think that's why there's been less drama surrounding the decision itself. You know, if Dakota may have come out with a win there, could have changed some people's opinions of the decision to reshoot the shootout.
So, quick question for you then before we wrap things up. Is this something that's going to happen more often moving forward, in your opinion?
No, I don't think so. I think the MHSAA looked at this as a one-time thing. Not saying that they'll never do it again. It might open the door for other shootout-type things in soccer specifically. But
definitely a rare occasion.
Right,
I mean, you see games being played under protest at all levels all the time, and rarely is anything ever done to overchange that.
Right. I think we can all remember a time when when a coach or a team felt they were wronged, and they tried putting in for a review and it wasn't granted. I just think that this was that one special circumstance where a game was directly affected by
something that could be easily replayed.
Right. Like a shootout, because that takes just a little bit of time. I know the schools had to go back to the same site and things of that nature.
Right.
But they could easily resolve that issue, because you could go right back to the point.
Well, like you had said, you know, in the long run, Athens had won the first time. They won again in the penalty kicks the second time.
Right.
So, you know,
no drama,
everything. I just wanted to bring it up, though, because it is a rare instance that something like this happens. So
right.
I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Sure.
So that's going to wrap up this week's show. You guys can check out more state champs action tomorrow on our State Champs Scoreboard radio show. Lauren Plant, Ryan Terpster, Tom Markowski talking high school football, bringing you the latest update to scores, coaches' interviews, recruiting updates. They'll also be talking Mr. Football Friday night from 10 p.m. to midnight.
Right,
you can check that out.
Right after the Red Wings game.
Right after the Red Wings game. Late night start tomorrow?
I'm not sure what time, but it'll probably be shortly after 10 o'clock if I had to guess.
Okay, so you'll be able to check that out on Facebook Live on the State Champs High School Sports Show page, as well as 97.1 The Ticket. And make sure moving forward you check us out on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, on Snapchat, our handle at State Champs Net. So appreciate everybody tuning into the State Champs High School podcast. We will be back same time, same place next week. Enjoy the weekend. Go check out some high school football. We'll be right back.
State Champs is presented by Lawrence Technological University. Possible is everything. Sarah Chevrolet, the low payment people. Hungry Howie's Dough Raiser, your next fundraiser comes with flavored crust. Meijer, your destination for sporting goods and equipment. ClearVision.pro, the supplement athletes trust to maximize visual performance. Better vision, better results. And SnethCam, Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Come visit Telegraph Road's newest Dodge and Ram truck dealer, serving Detroit.